You have your Bibles, quickly open to the book of Galatians chapter 6. That's where I'm going to start from today. I'll read that first. Just to emphasize something to us again, which we all know very well. Let me start from verse 6. It said, "And let the one who is taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever or whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith." I read that in context, but the main verses I really want, alright, are verse 8, alright, or verses 7 and 8. "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life." Quickly flip over to Deuteronomy chapter 8. These are all scriptures we've read several times. I just need to make some important points from them. As you know, for some time we spoke about what we call where life begins. We're talking about the importance of focusing on the Word of God. And what that has to do, all right, with getting results and doing the will of God on this earth. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 8 again. This is a scripture that Jesus quoted when Satan came to meet him in the temptations, which you know about. Let me just start from verse 1. "Is all the commandments I'm commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live. That is, acquire life and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. And you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you will keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you be hungry." Verse 3 is where I really want. "And fed you with manna, which you did not know," that is, you don't know where it came from, "nor did your fathers know," that is, they didn't understand it, "that it might make you," this is why he fed you, made you hungry, and then fed you with manna, "that it might make you understand," all right, "or that it might make you comprehend that man does not live by bread alone, but that man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. And as part of this, your clothing did not wear on you, nor did you did your foot swell these 40 years. Let me just stop there. Alright? Then let me read one more scripture, then I begin to teach. The book of Psalms, chapter 75. Now this is the one that really has to do with the doctrine of the appointed time. So I don't know whether we should read it now. Okay, just open to it and keep it there. Let me say what I want to say about the Word of God. If I have enough time, I'll now go into reading Psalm 75, and then we'll know we have gone into the next series I want to teach. Now, let me just continue to teach. Now, we have been talking about where life begins, all right? Let me put a conclusion to it now. And like I said, if we have time, we'll go into talking about the doctrine of the appointed time. And that way, we'll start from reading Psalm 75. But I read those two scriptures to remind us of something that we taught here sometime last year or the year before. That's one we read from Galatians chapter 6 now, and then from Deuteronomy chapter 8. Why did I read Galatians chapter 6? My emphasis there is that Paul distinguished two sides to life. He said, there is a way you can sow, which is called sowing to your flesh, and there is a way you can sow, which is called sowing to the Spirit. That tells us that there are two sides of sowing in life. There is a physical sowing, and there is the spiritual sowing. Are you getting my point? This is very important we understand. There's something I've been correcting people about. You know, sometimes I know I've told you guys these things 20 times. But there are those who will hear from the first time, for the first time in this particular teaching. So I just need to just chip it in, all right? for them once in a while, like that. Now, that's reading from that Galatians chapter 6, I explained to us that because there are different force fields in life, that's why we make a mistake when we try to teach a doctrine that when you sow money, you will reap money. Do you understand my point? Give and it shall be given to you. Is that a true doctrine or it's not? It's a true doctrine. The Lord Jesus taught it. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. But where people make mistakes is that because there's a doctrine of seed time and harvest, what they now tell themselves is that if I want money, I sow money. And I explained to us that no, that is not correct. Why is it not correct? Because each seed has its own force field that you sow it into. Are you getting my point? That is, a man who needs money, if he wants to directly sow money, then he has to identify where the force field of money is. And where's the force field of money? Where's this proper field that you can plant money into? It's business. It's a bank. Are you getting my point? And that's where you put money directly so that you can get money back. Are you following me? It's very important. Do business with this until I come back. The Lord said to his servants. And he expected them to do business, literal business, with the money. He did not expect them to give it to a prophet hoping that he will multiply it. Now, please, I hope you follow what I'm saying. But then, what is the doctrine of sowing and reaping? All right? In that regard, the Bible says that he that shows mercy shall do what? Obtain mercy. If you want to sow into the realm of the Spirit, what you are sowing must be a spiritual substance. And spiritual substances are things like mercy, like love, like honor. Do you understand my point? Those are things that are spiritual seeds. They are the only ones you can sow into the realm of the Spirit. Just so you can complete that explanation. So if I want to give money, I have to ask myself, am I sowing this money as selfish, as a matter of selfish motive, or I am sowing it as a matter of honoring, for example, a man of God, or sponsoring the gospel of God because I believe that is the truth that will liberate mankind. Are you getting my point? So if I give money purely because I want to get, what I have sown into the realm of the Spirit is selfishness. Are you getting what I'm saying? I have not sown mercy. Now, these things are very important that we get them clear. So that's the mistake people make. That is why it is not right for you to get up and say, I want to give money so I can get more money. What you have done is that you have sown selfishness and God will not honor you for selfishness. If you are going to give, therefore, you must have the right motive. So if you give because of honor, you want to honor the word of God, you want to honor the minister of the word of God, or you want to be of help to somebody in need, you want to show mercy, then what you are doing is that you are sowing mercy into the realm of the Spirit by giving money. Then God will repay you with mercy. But that mercy may come as money or may not come as money. And we have enough examples in the Bible to prove that. We don't have to go over that again, all right? We have enough examples. A woman took Elisha in and took good care of him. And what God gave her back was a child, all right? He didn't give her another house. Do you follow what I'm saying? And that's just the principle. So now I just want to dispense that in case somebody is hearing us teach on that matter for the first time. You can go and listen to our other messages on the matter of money or read the book, How to Work for God or Grace to Prosper. Now, but what I want to bring up from there is the fact that he said that Paul was saying that there are different fields in life by which people operate. You can sow into the realm of the Spirit or you can sow into the realm of the flesh. Those two things are there. Now, if you go to the book of Jeremiah chapter 8 that we read, all right, the last one we read now, what the Lord was saying to the children of Israel through Moses was simple, that I took you through the wilderness so that you will experience how to walk in the Spirit. Are you getting my point? Let me say that again. That I took you through the wilderness so that you will experience how to walk in the Spirit. What I did was to bring you to situations in which the flesh failed. Now, get what I'm saying? Listen, and that's what happened to you in life. You will lay up hope in somebody. Hey, I told the story here before. A young man who was trying to get a visa to go abroad, he tried several times. Then one of those times he was going to try, a man told him everything that he should do and how he was going to help him and he was going to give him cash to hold, stuff like that. And the day before the interview, he called the man's office and he was told that the man died the day before that. What God was doing was bringing him to the end of flesh. Are you getting my point? I was reading a story by one of our brothers. He described how when he was in secondary school, listen to this, his result, his WASC result, all right, school leaving certificate result was straight A's. 8 subjects, 8 A's. Now, that's a guarantee of admission into university, isn't it? 8 subjects, 8 A's. He had it. I'm sure he was sure he would go into the university. I'm sure his parents were certain. Except that, unfortunately for him, where he wrote jam that year, there was malpractice in the hall, and all the results in that hall were nullified. He didn't cheat. He was hot. He had the brains. He had the worst results to go with it, but jam jammed him. And this is the interesting part. The second year came, something went wrong again, and he couldn't get admission to the university. Even though he was one of the best students in his school. This is what God brings us to once in a while. Alright? Just to show us that flesh fails. And listen, there are two ways to learn lessons in life. As you are seated now, alright? As you are sitting down here and you are listening, that's the best way. It's not always the most effective, but it's the best. Because either you learn it like this, or because God loves you so much, you will learn it the difficult way, through experience. That one hurts. It's painful, but usually it's permanent. You will learn the lesson. It tends to stick with you for a very long time. This is what I'm making. Flesh fails. All flesh is what? Grass. Everything they can produce, they are like the flowers of the field. He said the grass withers. Which one withers now? Is it the grass or the flower? Okay, the grass withers and the flower fades. Or the flower withers and the grass fades. Anyway, something withers, something fades. The Lord is good. Now, that's very crucial. God knows that we must learn that lesson. So it takes all of us through those experiences in life. You must learn the lesson that all flesh is grass. So we must learn the lesson, all right? That the flesh disappoints. And let me explain to us again, you know. I tried to explain something, that there are different fields in life. That's what I was going to explain, all right? And you see, this is what confuses people sometimes. They don't understand that that's what you are saying. They think you are saying that one field does not exist. No, we are not saying that. We are saying, however, that as believers in Christ Jesus, as children of God, we operate, or we are supposed to operate, in the realm that is higher. I was explaining that God took the children of Israel to the wilderness so that when they became hungry, they saw the failure of natural things. And then God demonstrated to them that when they expected nothing, materially speaking, when they looked at Moses and they looked at the natural provisions that could have been made, they knew that flesh had failed. Then God brought manna for them from heaven. Are you getting my point? Which he said they did not know, their fathers did not know where it came from. He said, why did I take you through that? Not because that is the order I want you to go through in life. Always been at the edge of, you know, death before I rescue you. He said, no, that's not what I expect. When you get into the promised land, you will step into a land that flows with milk and honey. You will step into a land that has predictable seasons. You will have seed time. You will have harvest. Are you getting my point? You will have those natural seasons which I instituted. And if you plant your seeds properly, you will harvest. And I will bless you. He said, but before you step into that realm, where you will never have to get to the edge of no supplies before new supplies will come, where one harvest will overtake, all right, the previous one. Before you get to that point, I first have to establish in your heart how things really are. That without harvest or with harvest, you will be sustained. Are you getting what I'm saying? That if you are not being sustained by the harvest, you are being sustained by the commandments that I'm commanding you, which you are going to obey. And how did I prove that to you? Just by taking you to the edge of sufferings and death, and then delivering you supernaturally. I wanted you to understand that though man, listen to this, can live by bread, which is a natural sphere, which is a natural force field, but that is not the only thing that can keep him. It is possible for a man to be alive, productive, succeed, and not have those natural things that people thought were needed. Are you getting what I'm saying? But the only way, now we are not saying, listen to me, that a man can go through life without eating food. We did not say that. We are not saying a man can go through life without having water. That's not what the Lord was saying. He was saying that a man without food, without water, he can get another form of food. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, if my word comes to him, then it will make his need for material things unnecessary. So if a natural man doesn't have food, doesn't have water, he dies. If he does not have the natural things that he's supposed to have, he will not survive. But this is a spiritual man. A spiritual man is the one that if there's food and there's water, fine. If there's no food and there's no water, fine. Are you getting the point? Because he has a source of food that is not natural. That is the other realm we're talking about. That is walking in the spiritual realm. So God was teaching the children of Israel how to walk by the Spirit. And it's simple. How do we walk by the Spirit? It's simple. It is not by walking around with our eyes closed and say, that is not walking by the Spirit. Walking by the Spirit is simply taking your making your predictions, like we were praying on Tuesday, all right? Making your predictions from the Word of God. Taking your directions from life from the Word of God. Having your confidence in the promises of God, ordering your life by the precepts of God, which I've discussed. That's what it means to walk by the Spirit. Therefore, this is what God was teaching the children of Israel. There will be times where you will have only 20,000 soldiers, and the king of Assyria will come against you with 125,000 soldiers. Man does not live by having chariots and warriors alone. Are you getting my point? But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of Isaiah to Hezekiah, that word can dismantle all the soldiers of Assyria and bring victory, which is what is called life, even though Israel didn't have enough to face their enemies. Are you getting what I'm saying? You see, listen, we must bring that thing to the front of our minds. If you're around two Tuesdays ago, I think, okay, we have the prayer meeting on CDs. If we're around two Tuesdays ago, we explained that principle. When we're praying, we have to repent of soothsaying like Philistines. Can you remember that? For those of you who are here, we have to repent of soothsaying like Philistines. So you see, there are two realms in life. That's what I'm saying. And in these last few weeks, what I've been teaching is to bring Christians back to the source of life, all right? In the higher realms of life. That's what I'm saying. I said something to us before. I need to emphasize it again, all right? And that's the fact that God is not concerned about your disappointment and your disadvantages. Because, you know, I said it also, that you see, he knows. Look, listen, I said that he will not remove the troubles of life because you are his child. Are you getting what I'm saying? There will still be troubles in life. What he's saying is that it's inconsequential if you ride by the power of my word. Are you getting my point? That all the natural disadvantages don't matter if you operate by the words that I'm going to be speaking to you. Over the last few weeks, the last thing I said, all right, the last few ones, was that we must, because if we understand this, we go after that word with aggression. And that is what is called a doer of the word. Can you remember that? I'm kind of summarizing again. That is what is called a doer of the word. Listen to me, let me add this one to you, then I summarize everything. I was talking last time about how the word becomes flesh, all right? This is how a Christian walks. This is what is called a spiritual walk. Triumph and victory in life is because of the word that became flesh. Let me say it again. Victory in life for the Christian is the word becoming flesh. Shall I say one more time? That this is what brings you into victory. Not because you have schemed. Now, let me just quickly add this to it again. This is why I've been explaining. We read a lot of natural things. We do. You may see, we may be teaching a series. Maybe you go to a business school. They teach you how business is supposed to be done naturally. They can't teach you how it's supposed to be done spiritually. I mean, you can't go to UNEC to get an MBA, University of Nigeria Enugu Campus, and they teach you spiritual operations in business. It's not likely. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, all the things they are teaching there, they are correct, but only as far as the first realm is concerned. Are you getting what I'm saying? They are correct only as far as the first realm is concerned. Christians eat food. Amen? Do we eat food or we don't eat food? We do. In the same manner, we can learn natural principles of doing business. Are you getting what I'm saying? But that's because we live on this earth. There's a natural realm. But we know that even though the things that we are taught, all right? Listen. If I look around my life, according to the things I'm taught in the business school I went to, if he predicts that I'm going to fail, then I know that's a lie. I don't know whether you get my point. If he predicts that things will go wrong, I said, no, I can't accept that. Say, why can't I accept that? It is simple. Because it is not in keeping with the promises of God. Because I will lend and I will not borrow. That's what he said. Are you following my point? It makes it very clear that I'm seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, far above principalities and powers. Let me summarize it. It means I'm a victor. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Are you getting my point? Now, so that's our issue as believers. We're not saying the natural things are wrong. We're saying we know things that are beyond them. This is what I meant when I said success is the word becoming flesh. When, as a believer, all right, things don't, they are not in accordance with the predictions for success according to natural order. Okay? Then what God does is simple. He gives you manna from heaven. I'm summarizing everything we have said. What is manna? He said, give us this day our what? Daily bread. Jesus said to the Jews, he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. Are you following my point? That what God does is to give us a bread from heaven. And what they had in the wilderness was what? A type of God's bread from heaven. Please, I hope you are following me. Now, this is what that means. All right? So we said it like this, that was a few weeks ago, that at such times, we don't throw in the towel when things don't seem to be working well. What we simply do is that we look for the bread for the day. And this is where prayer comes in. He said, give us this day our what? Our daily bread. What is that bread? The word of God, which makes natural things, whether they cooperate or not, unnecessary. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now listen, this is where God takes glory from. When I believe that word, I said something to us a few weeks ago, that this is what grace is, that life for the believer is not about struggling and exerting ourselves. It's about hearing the right things and doing what? Believing the right things. Please, I'm going to bring a summary to that particular issue. This is how it works. I said to us, and I'm going to read the scripture to, from there, we're not going to the doctrine of the appointed time. It's very important, it's very crucial, actually, the way we went about it. That is what God is doing. Listen, how do I tie this without having to read this first? Okay, let me put it like this. This is what God is doing. He has a tabernacle in the heaven. What I mean is this. He has a plan written in heaven. Remember that our scripture. Give us this day. No, sorry, not that one. That will be done on earth as it is what? As it is written in heaven. Now, God's plan for your life, God's plan for your triumph, God's plan for your victory is recorded in heaven. Listen to this. This earth, this is what I want to talk about, the doctrine of the appointed, and it's part of the introduction I want to use. This earth was created. This existence, listen to me please carefully, was created to demonstrate the word of God. You will understand what I'm saying in a moment. Listen. You, as an individual, your flesh was created to demonstrate the word of God. I don't know whether you heard me. Now listen, God is big. I've said it to us several times here before. He's mighty. He's the everlasting king. He's the almighty God. He's the one that fills everything. You know, I was studying today, I discovered one thing. The Bible says that in the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. Right? What does that tell you? He does not live in the heavens and the earth. Because for you to make something, you were not in that thing. I don't know whether you heard me. If he can roll away the heavens and the earth, that means he's not there. It dawned on me that the Bible says heaven is his throne. A man mounts a throne and comes down from it. I don't know what they're going to say. The heavens we see that he created is just a structure he put in place for his plan in this season. God is big. He said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So where was he before that? I discovered that the Bible said from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God, which means that everlasting is before the beginning. Are you getting what I'm saying? I don't know whether you're following me. God is big and mighty. We look at it and say, heaven is his throne. Yes, he built the throne so he could sit on it. When he's tired, he'll throw it away again. He remains God. I don't know what you're saying. We make it look as if the heaven is the house of God. As in, there's nowhere else for him to go. No. Heaven exists because God, from wherever he was existing, created it. That's why he can make new heavens and a new earth. So I'm tired of the old one. God is bigger than the heavens. If I like the way Benny Hinn described it many years ago, he said, the Bible says that from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. He said, the literal Hebrew is from everlasting to everlasting, God. That is, the other name of God is everlasting to everlasting. You don't know what I'm saying? That is, God is just everything. He fills everything. Now, later on, I don't know if I can get there today, maybe next time, all right? Next time. I will explain something briefly about why God, I don't know the details, all right? Just a bit. About why God created these heavens and this earth. But this one I want you to understand. To describe God, I've said it several times. God is always described by somebody. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. That's just the way he is. You have to describe him by the experiences of people on the earth. So when God wanted to describe a part of him, I described that thing about God for you to know that the parts of God to describe, there are too many. So if you have 6 billion people on this earth, they can't describe a fraction of him. So if the people who lived before now were like 8 billion, all of us put together cannot fully describe God. So we still need more people. Please, hear what I'm saying. So this is what God did. When he wrote a description of himself, are you getting my point? To express that description of himself, you were made. Are you getting what I'm saying? And then, when you came down to the earth, what God is doing now, he said, this is the job. Everybody has his own assignment. What he said is that you will take the word, because that's your part. You know, we're talking about your part. Your part is part of God. There's a part of God you are supposed to describe. Now, what God now wants you to do, and which is what Satan does not want you to do. I've said it to you before. People say, we are going to pray. Everything that is the devil has taken from you, they mean your car, your money, your promotion in the office, all those mundane things. I'm sorry to say, it's foolishness. Satan does not steal such things. Pastor Banky, what do you mean? Satan does not steal such things. Let me ask you a simple question. Was he trying to steal the goods of Job? You read the Bible now. The book of Job. Was Satan trying to steal his goods?
No.
Was he trying to steal his children?
No.
Or was he trying to steal his faith? All those things are just the ways to peradventure. He will be able to get to the face of Job. Please, I hope you're what I'm saying. You're following it. Those things are not the things he's going for. So say, Satan, Job, now come and say, all my goods that the Sabians took, you will return it. If you want it 10 times back, I'll give you a bet. Get away, my friend. We said you should deny God. You couldn't even deny God for 2 seconds just to help somebody. That's what the guy was going after. So what am I saying? That's what Satan does not want you to do, to describe God effectively. But what God wants you to do is to download. That's the best word. I don't know any other word. All right? To download all the words, all the pieces of your own portion of God recorded in the heavens. Listen to me. When they are together, then you will have described God accurately on this earth as far as your own part is concerned. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, that is what real success is. So what you go after in life is fighting. When I use the word fight, I mean fight. It's a spiritual battle. Fighting every time to hear the word of God, because when it comes, it's building something. He's building, you know, the way the Bible describes you. He said, so God built a tabernacle in heaven. Remember, we started with that. He built a throne in heaven. And the Bible says that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know what it means? Listen. He said, we all are being built up as lively stones. God is building a place to inhabit on the earth. Listen. Until the word of God thoroughly builds you, the full manifestation of his divine presence cannot be felt. Do you get what I'm saying? I'm more convinced, even now, that our energy is in being built with the word of God. The degree to which we manifest God is simple. It's the degree to which his word builds us up into what he expects us. When I say build us up now, I don't mean, please listen to me, this is where we make the mistake. We try to fight and struggle by our flesh to obey the word of God. Listen, I said it before, in fact, let me discuss that thing properly now. Listen, Christians, we don't try to obey God. I need to say that one. Trying to obey God is operating by the order of Moses, and it always leads to failure. What we try to do, which we strive for, is to discover and to know God. Obedience is an automatic part of the life of the person that has come to know God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The degree of disobedience in your life is the degree to which you have not yet seen God clearly. Is the degree to which you haven't understood him properly. Listen, I said to you, believers are supposed to hear and believe. If they believe, I said last time, Satan didn't try to get Eve to disobey God. Like, Eve, disobey. I will scare you now. Disobey. He had to work on ensuring that Eve doubted God. That's what he was working on. Did you notice it? The disobedience was a consequence of the doubt. Has God said, thou shalt not? He said, yes, because he said, we will die. He said, wait, my sister, let me just tell you the truth. You will not surely die. The moment she had an iota of doubt concerning whether she would die or would not die, she ate it. Do you follow what I'm saying? Listen, the experiences of your life are working together just to bring you to the place where you can understand God. I pray you understand what I'm saying. Then obedience is automatic. What am I saying? We focus on God's word, not so we can obey something. Five principles by which success comes. Number one, wake up in the morning and face the left and declare over the left. Then you wake up every morning struggling to declare over the left. Then the afternoon you retire at night, or in the afternoon you rest and talk to the front. And at night you talk to the right. No, that's not what God is doing. God is saying, I have, you know, we brought, you know, Bishop pointed to me that there were more words in Psalm 119. I said, you didn't listen to me where the first day. I said it myself. There are plenty of words in Psalm 119. And I picked four of them to illustrate, because essentially, there's a fifth one which later on I realized I should add. I'll add to it in a moment, all right? The four I mentioned generally summarize every part of God's word. I said there are precepts. What you are supposed to do is learn the precepts or the principles of God. We'll discuss that. Now, what you do is that when you are learning, it's not just about learning principles for life. You are learning the character of God. And once you discover the character of God and say amen to that character, I don't know what I get what I'm saying. What happens is that it becomes your nature in reality. Let me give you an example. This one is a very funny example, but it's something that helped me years ago. I read it in one of my books. Great Faith Can Be Yours. When I was on campus, 20 naira. I don't know to all of you now, 20 naira is no money. It's nothing now. It's change, isn't it? How much is a bus drop in Enugu now? 40 bucks. Oh, Lord. When I was in university, 20 naira. Just physical, that straight note. 20 naira was a lot of money. Because a complete proper meal, well-seasoned meal, you know, well-rounded meal, was just about 1 naira. You could get a very decent meal with less than a naira. So 20 naira was big, especially for a student. My tuition for the year was 90 naira. No, sorry, was 35 naira. Accommodation for the year in the University of Benin at that time was 90 naira. So when you paid your fees at the beginning of the year, you paid 120. So you understand my point, 20 naira was big. Those schools were not charging so much, they're federal universities, all right? Now, the year I'm telling you about was about, I was in university from 85 to 91. So this year I'm talking about was around 88, 89. This particular I'm talking about now, all right? But I just want to point out to you that 20 naira was big. You went to eat in a full day, a whole day, 3 naira is good enough. If your father gave you 100 naira for the month, it was good money. He wasn't a wicked father. 3 naira times 30, don't be 90 be that. About what are you saying? So, now listen to this. I told this story in one of my books. I was in a room one day. One sister just arrived from when she came to our room. All right, came with all her. Well, she's not somebody we know very well, but there was a brother in our room that day, a senior person, who knew her a bit more than I did. All right, she came with somebody else who I knew. So I just sat down in my room and I observed the guy was just playing with her and took her purse. I remember very well, and took 20 naira from me. That's the gist I'm going to in all of this. And when he took the 20 naira, so of course. I just naturally that 20 naira, you know, you will give her back now. Of course, he returned it back after teasing her for a while, gave her back her money. And the lady just smiled and said, no, you can have it. And the guy said, are you serious? Say, yes, you can have it. No, let me tell you the way it is. It's like now, you're a student. You're in a room. One guy, you know, two people are playing. A guy takes a lady's purse and takes maybe like 4,000 naira out of it. And then he asks, okay, I'll just play and take your money back. I said, no, you can't have it. Listen. There was no commandment that shall give anybody 20 naira. Nothing like that. But what just happened to me was, now, some people will say that, maybe her father is rich. But that, you know, once I started telling the story, it didn't cross my mind to even think about how rich her father was. It didn't cross my mind. All that just hit me was that somebody just dashed somebody 20 naira. And I swore by God on the spot. It didn't cross my mind that I should check how rich she is. I just said, so people can give people 20 naira. I said, dear father, thank you very much. I just got understanding. I started praying for the opportunity to give somebody 20 naira. Don't ask whether I had it or not. I didn't care. I'm bringing an issue here. I just discovered a character, that's what I'm going to explain, of God. A giving character. There was no commandment about it. I discovered it and I was transformed on the spot. One day, a brother was just in our room. He said, he has to buy some new clothes. He was just, he's a young minister, right? He just graduated. And I said, he's going to get some money. That's believing God. I just said, praise God. I'm going to give you the first 20 naira towards that project. Reached into my box, opened it, brother. A friend of mine stood there, looked like, Banky, what was that about? As I just gave him 20 naira. Why? He didn't understand. For me, it was that, yes. At this, now, are you getting my point? I have been transformed into a giver of 20 bucks. Listen, I don't care whether I didn't have more than that. All I know is that I can give 20 naira. I didn't know it was humanly possible for somebody who's not paying school fees. You are not buying anything. You'll give somebody 20 naira. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Elijah was sitting with one of my friends. Somebody came, told, you know, this lie story. Sorry, the lady was holding a child. Good afternoon, sir. Please, you know, as I was crossing the road, my paw suddenly grew wings and flew, you know. She didn't say it like that, but you know those kind of stories, all right? So my friend looked at her and like, my friend, get away from here. This lie you want to lie to us. Oh, he said in other words, of course. So I just turned to the lady. I said, how much? You said you need some money. How much? He said, anything. So we just bought something. We're sitting on a kind of counter in the reception of a hotel, guest house. So I said, okay, just wait. So when the guy handed me my change, I just took some from it and gave to her. I said, all right, bye-bye. Now my friend said something to me. He just said, is there a scripture that says you should give money to those who are telling lies? I don't know whether you heard that. And I said to him, then I told him a story I told inside that book of how I was also in that same situation. A man walked up to my cousin's office. We were sitting outside. And told another long story like that. And she fell for it, I thought. And gave the man one huge sum of money. And after the guy left, he said, Auntie, don't you know he was lying? He said, I know. Now, they always lie. Do you ever tell the truth? They're always telling lies. I said, then why did you give her the money? He said, it's poverty, it's hunger. The guy is hungry. Let him go and eat. There was no commandment. I discovered the character of God. Are you getting my point? So I told him that story. I said, do you think I believe her? Forget, I don't. I have sized her quality of begging. And this amount of money I give, I think I give her either 100 or 200 naira. I said, she won't stop with us. She'll go somewhere, she'll ask somebody else. This is the job she does. They'll just patronize her small. Let's give her 100 naira. Let her go. If she's by the roadside, I will have given her 10 bucks, but she's going nicely. She's carrying a child, no trouble, so that child has to eat. Now, I'm bringing an issue. Later on, I discovered, you know, I told you that if you understand the precepts of God, David said, having understood your precepts, I was not ashamed when I encountered your commandments. When I understood these precepts, I now saw scriptures in the Bible. Things like the laws given to the children of Israel, that listen, you know, you don't harvest your field to the edges. Are you getting my point? You don't harvest your field to the edges. When you are harvesting, when you get to the edge of the field, you pull back, let that one stand. You keep on harvesting, get to the edge, you move back. Why? Those who don't have, that's the one they will eat. For the Israelites, if you are harvesting, are you getting my point? And something falls down, God said, don't pick it. It's against the law. And you're harvesting like this, you cut the corn, you're throwing it into a basket. Then one falls from the basket and lands on the floor. Against Jewish law, you don't bend down to pick it. And you don't go by a road twice. Anything you forget is forgotten. And God said, what am I doing like that? He said, those who don't have field, who don't have land, what will they eat? That's what they will eat. Are you getting my point? So I learned little principles like that. Once I went, then I used to drive this Jetta in town, and my wife was not using it that time, and all the tires went bad. So I bought 4 tires that they go. So when I got there, the guy who sold me tires said that, sir, these old tires, how much? That I should sell the tires to them. They were old tires, that's why I was changing them, but some people still use them, right? So I told the guy, I don't want to die young. Say what? I said, I don't sell such things. There's one man near me. He's been eyeing these tires for a while. So the man said, I should sell the things. I said, of course I don't sell such things. You think I don't want to live long? I don't want to prosper. There is somebody near where I was living then who had been eyeing the tire for a while because he had an old taxi which couldn't move because he didn't have tires. So the tires I was rejecting, to him, they were still good. After all, you want to buy to sell to somebody. So I packed them one time. Greeted him. Okay, good afternoon. I just brought you those my tires. Hey, see prayer. Now, I'm telling all these stories to let you know that it's not just about commandments. We just discover the character of God. And I've told you my own experiences that once I saw them, without anybody telling me things, I was changed on the spot. Are you getting my point? That's why, listen, don't ever argue against good things, even if you are not practicing them. Hear them, believe them. If you cannot pray them immediately, pray about them. Do you follow the point I'm making? Now, I'm going to something. What God is doing is this. Little by little, it's not about obeying deliberately. It's just discovering how God is. It's just discovering how God is. The other day, my wife and I were discussing about treating other people. You know, there's something she was telling me about. She would tell this person, behave like this. Why? Because this way you are behaving is not how God will want us to behave in treating other people. You may not find express commandments about it. Do you follow my point? But you just discover the character and the nature of God. Let me give you an example. Like Nigeria, the way it is right now. Listen, the problem in Nigeria, I've been telling you, God will solve it suddenly. You know, Nigeria's problem is not going to be solved gradually. Amen? God, you know, just wake up one day, solution by Monday. You slept on Sunday. There was no issue. Then Monday, bam. One man will just come and just wipe away the old brigade, you know, just change people's. You know, don't worry, God does things like that. But the major problem in Nigeria right now, listen to me, is selfishness, which is a manifestation of godlessness. It is. In Nigeria of today, nothing goes for nothing. You know what I'm saying? Nobody understands. Now, he's paid to do the job. He does not understand that he's supposed to do the job because he's paid to do the job. He thinks you should still see him. You understand what I'm saying? And listen, if you grow up like that in the country, you are not righteous enough to overcome it naturally. What just simply happens to you is that as the word of God is coming, you discover that, listen, this is not how God wants you to live. Now, I'm bringing out something here. The reason God destroys people, I said to us a few weeks, days ago, why God would destroy a whole nation is a very righteous judge. It's usually because he does not see enough righteous people. They are so critically few in number. And when you read it those days, just assume that, is it possible for everybody to be bad? Believe me, the answer is yes. You can go to a whole community of, you know, a quarter of a state, and they are all wicked people. God says everybody in this place is wicked. A stranger can't sleep here at night. They will rob him to pieces. And they are all like that. God, you know, we go to a state, God says, see, everybody in this state, every single person is corrupt, is wicked. That is, one day I will rain fire and brimstone on them. Because everybody is bad. I'm bringing out something. Before God can pour his glory on anybody there, he must be different. He must be different. He must be different. He must reason differently. Are you getting my point? Yes. He must operate by different precepts, different principles. He will get a bad name. It's crucial. In your office, you should have a bad name. You know, I'm a bad name now. Bad name in that. Don't mind that guy. He will spoil the deal. They should start doing deals behind your back. It's good testimony. When you enter, everybody will keep quiet. They want to cheat you. That's why they keep keeping quiet. You understand my point? Because if you know, you will spoil the deal. People must know that you are not motivated. No, you're not trying to show off, because that's one problem. Again, people say, yes, pastor say people must know. So when you go to work, praise the Lord. If you are sharing money, don't call me. Don't call me. Don't call me. You just want to show off. No, no, no. I mean, because of the nature you have, after people just know that this guy is different. Don't worry, in that area. One day, well, I mean, this was years ago. I just came to Enugu then. I was heading my department. They had to supply something. So the guy came and said that, okay, how much should he put for me? And I told him, me? More. More. In my mind. You think God, I'm just looking for what God should use to punish me, Abby. Yeah, we call him, let me tempt the Lord my God. God, let me see whether I can forgive this sin. Yeah, what I'm saying. I look at the guy, say, no, nothing. What do you mean? When he told, because he was on the errands for his father. When he told his father like, what do you mean? No, talk to him now. There must be, tell him simply, sorry, don't worry about me. If you guys like, between you and some other people, defraud the establishment, it's a pity I can't do anything about it, but I ain't taking 1 naira from you. He called me a few months ago. He's not living in UK. He laughed at me and said, man, this guy, you're very strange. Yes, I have never seen such types. I mean, the other day, this are not serious. This is not a serious testimony. If you hear, is it a serious testimony? Forget nothing. I'm just trying to tell you, use illustrations. The other day, we had to buy an equipment for my office. One drug company gave us the money. So they gave me the money directly, like, okay, take the money, hold it. I said, give it to the other guy. I said, no, we have talked to him. He said, we should give you. Anyway, they paid the money into my account. So we had to buy something. So I sent one of my guys to buy one. So I said, have you collected our receipt? He said, okay, no, he hasn't. That the guy asked him that, how much should he write? You know, I didn't even see these such things. So he just told, so he told him, he said, no, Malga, please, just write the amount of money we gave you. Just write the amount of money we gave you. Well, he now came to report to him that the man was asking him that, how much should he write? I just laughed to myself. I said, oh, people still do such things. I thought this is, they are still doing it. I mean, now, why am I saying all of these things? You know what God is doing? As you move around, like, just I'm just telling you, there are Christians who don't know that these things are wrong. But as you're just saying it, God is just transforming people's hearts. Listen to me. Until he transforms you, makes you different from the people around you, his glory will not manifest in your life around them. No, he can't. I've spoken a lot. Let me try and get back to the main thing I was saying. So what God is doing, listen, is this. He's building up a dwelling place for himself by all these things. He's building up a dwelling place for himself on the earth by this transformation of your heart by his precepts. He's building up a place to dwell. Oh, are you getting what I'm saying? Remember I said somewhere along the line, all right, that he builds the heaven to dwell in it for this dispensation. If he created the heavens and the earth, he was staying somewhere before. If he's planning to wipe away the heavens and the earth, where, is he going to wipe himself away with it? That means he will step out of it and clean them out. In the same manner, he's creating where to dwell on the earth. The only building blocks he uses, this is the point, is they are the words that he speaks into your life. I said that we're not struggling to obey the words. No. When the words become part of us, obedience is automatic. Did you hear what I said? When the word becomes a part of you, obedience is automatic. So we said, this is the only way Christians really see glory, see success. The word becoming flesh. And there are two stages to that word becoming flesh. Number one, God is building you as an individual up with these words, with this transformation of character, which the word comes, it just changes you. You're not trying to obey. Then once that is done, then next line, he drops into you, let me use this expression, the spirit of glory. Let me say it again. When God has built you up, he pours into your life the spirit of glory. What am I by spirit of glory? I like to, you know, Jesus used to give example with the farmer. So, this modern day, we don't farm much, but we do a lot of business. So, let's use as an example. What do I mean by spirit of glory? Today, my wife and I were discussing. I just asked some things on how people can become very rich. In summary, let me just use Joseph as an example. Imagine that the spirit with which Joseph prepared for the famine, God gave it to somebody before the bank crisis in Nigeria began, and he knew they were coming. I don't know whether I get my point. The guy would have made 500 million naira without an issue, just by knowing. God gives a man discernment. He suddenly starts seeing things that nobody else is seeing. I was listening to a testimony where I think it was one pastor was preaching about how, you know this magnetic ink recognition checks, these checks you use. Before, only one company was printing in Nigeria, Minting and Printing Corporation of Nigeria. Then one young man had the idea that he became the first non-Minting and Printing Corporation person to be doing it. So every bank just queued at his doorsteps. Listen, there are so many ideas like that. Are you getting my point? That's waiting. Waiting for you to be built up to receive that spirit of glory. I don't know what I hear what I said. See, what God is doing, I told you, is simple. That's what is called grace. He's just building you up by the word. I said, life has two spheres. You can tell me the story. That's how I have to start with it. Some people start telling you the story of one criminal who made 100 billion. I don't know what the devil is trying to do in his life. I don't care. And money is called the mammon of unrighteousness. That is, he has no character. Satan can give a man 100 trillion naira. I know God is not moved. I told you before, Satan came to Jesus and said, if you bow before me, I will make you very rich. And you'll become the richest man in the world. That's what he said. Look at the kingdoms of the world and the glories thereof. I can give to whosoever I wish. There are those who operate by that realm. I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to you. For us, money is not an object. Are you getting my point? It's a tool. If God brings it for us to do what we are supposed to do, fine. We are talking about developing the godly tabernacle on the earth that God might dwell in it. And when he pours his spirit of glory, you know, as a preacher, you know I'm a preacher. I discovered that there's a spirit of glory that God gives to a preacher. I told you something earlier. Anyway, let me not even go into that now. All right? We'll get back to that when we're talking about the issue of the appointed time. Listen. God, this is so crucial. Hey. A preacher can make people do anything. Do you know that? You remember the story of the man who stole how many millions from his company and gave as offering? People say, what happened to him? I said, Paul said, who has bewitched you? Preachers can bewitch people. I mean, ask yourself, Why will a married woman go to the presence of a preacher and strip naked? They do it. They do. Preachers are very powerful. It's not, it has nothing to do whether they are good or bad. This is just a job. You understand my point? Once the guy is a preacher, he can make people do things. Jim Jones killed how many multitudes? Told them to drink it is from God. They all drank poison and died. Preachers are very powerful. They are very powerful people. Look, that's why James said, well, if they give you the job of a preacher, run. Because as God gives them power, so he gives them double judgment. When God wanted to punish Jeroboam, he punished Jeroboam for the sin he committed and the one he made Israel to commit. When he wants to punish preachers, he punishes them for the sins they commit and the one they made the congregation commit. Now, I'm giving an example now, alright? So God knows this. Before he drops this kind of glory, the spirit of glory, like I'm telling you about earlier, upon them, he has to be sure of what the fellow will do when he's given the power. Are you getting what I'm saying? So the job, listen, I think is forget all this time of Father God. When we pray until your anointing comes, I have discovered, God, if we pray until your anointing comes by force, we may die in the process. So what we are going to do is that we pray until we have the capacity to receive the anointing. And if you want to bring it that time, we'll gladly receive it. Because if God makes you a king before you are ready to be king, you'll die like Saul. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. What am I explaining? In every sphere of life, there is a spirit of glory which God wants to pour. And I told you last Saturday, I believe very strongly that God wants to pour it soon. In practical terms now, in a nation like Nigeria, not only here, and maybe starting from Africa, and he's telling everybody, go and tell your pastor, warn everybody, that God said, listen, I need to get my people ready. So from now, anybody that uses my pulpit for any other purpose than building up my people to become lively temples, living temples that I can dwell in, I'll have to deal with that fellow. Because without it, I cannot. Listen, if I don't build the people up, I can't pour my spirit of glory into them. You are getting what I'm saying? You are getting what I'm saying? Listen, that's how the world works. What God simply does is that once he has built you, not by obeying rules. Rules are good. They have their place. But that's not what he's trying to do. All right? What he's doing is that he's just building somebody. You know, I said something the other day that a cheerful giver is not a man who is giving. A cheerful giver is a cheerful giver, therefore he gives cheerfully. Are you getting my point? In the same manner, I say a doer is not a doer because he does. But he does because he's a doer. It is that transformation of individuals by the word of God that God is going out for. And once he has achieved that, listen to me. You know, God told the children of Israel, I made you hungry, then I fed you with manna. Amen? You know that story? When you have to pray for money before you get it, you are not blessed yet. I didn't say you are cursed to. I just said your blessing never show. You are still in what? Training. You are still in the wilderness. God is trying to show you that the word works. Amen? Because when it starts working, you won't notice it's working. It will work so much, you won't notice that's what is working. You see, that's why he said, thou shalt remember, it is the Lord thy God that giveth the power to get wealth. Because the people were going to prosper so much, they will easily forget. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God will pour grace upon you so much that money will never be a prayer point in your life again. Your prayer will be, let us assume, God just carries you now and dashes you, MTN and Mobi producing Nigeria combined. Say, it's yours, take. You know, you have a new set of problems now. Your prayer point will be, we are going to see the president of Ghana next week. Brethren, pray for favor. Let me tell you again, a time will come that will no longer be a prayer point. Amen. It will no longer be a prayer point because the people are the ones phoning you and asking for your favor. Those are levels of grace that make men mental if they are not careful. Yes. They want to raise their seats to the high throne, to the, you know, to the high heavens and be like the Most High. Now, I'm explaining something. But so the first thing that God does is that all this experience of life, say school fees is next week. Brother, let us pray. School fees. Amen. It's good. You need to pray it now. Then God will show, sure, 1 hour before it is due. And you say, amen. I knew the Lord was going to turn up. Hallelujah. And Lord said, I know, oh boy, you're still in the wilderness. I'm teaching you. You know, I told you before, enjoy the season of life. There are prayers you won't have the privilege to pray again. After a while, when you want to say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, the car we are saving up for, may they not devalue the naira so that the price won't go up. You know, those are prayers that will end soon in your life. You will start solving problems by, should we buy a Jeep or buy a car? I said, buy the two of them. We'll think about it later. That this thinking process is exerting my mental energy. If I use this energy on business, it will make a billionaire. So why should I use it on a car that's only 15 million? Please buy the two of them. Are you getting my point? Listen, that's the kind of grace God wants to pour, but into people that must not go mental. So what does he do? First, he builds them up. They have to let him do that. And what I'm saying is that once they are built up, he said, how does he say it again? Isaiah chapter 40. Raise up the valleys. Bring down the mountains. Prepare a smooth way for God, and the glory of God will be revealed. They don't beg God's glory to be revealed when it's ready to come. Once we have removed the obstructions, that's why we've been teaching about the centrality of the Word of God. We have built ourselves into tabernacles that God can dwell in. Then you know what the next thing that happens? This is a very good place to stop. We'll go to the next thing. The next thing that happens is simple. Suddenly you fit. How do I say this? There are two sides to life. There's what God is doing in your life, and there's what God is doing on the earth. I've been looking for somebody that has prophetic insight to tell me what's going on in Arab countries. That thing is not a joke. God is doing something. I just don't know what. God is doing something. I just don't know what. I have my own personal idea about it. But my personal idea doesn't seem to fit what is going on. But I know it will soon come down to what I'm saying, that I'm thinking. I believe it very strongly. All right? But I'm not discussing it now. But I'm just saying that there are two spheres to life. There's what God is doing in your life, and there's what he's doing on the earth. Now, he prepares you. Then when you think you're done, he's done with you, then that puts you into your own place in what he's doing on the earth. And this is the issue. This is where we are going to. The doctrine of the appointed time. Open your Bible to Psalm 75. Sorry. God created these heavens and this earth to demonstrate something. And he plotted parts for each person to play. Are you getting my point? And in all the works, or in all the word that he's been sending into your life, and all the work you have been working with him, is to bring you to the place, like I said, where you will receive the spirit of his glory. So you can play your part in what he's doing on the earth. And the thing he's doing on the earth is in seasons, which are just in his hands. Are you getting what I'm saying? I said something last time. Some people think they know the principles of guarding large crowd in churches. They think Yonggi Cho has a special key for having a church of 1 million people. I have discovered that it's not so. There are times and there are what? Seasons. There are. And God prepared Yonggi Cho for the time and the season in which 1 million people will come to one single assembly. Do you get my point? There is what he wants to do in Nigeria, in Africa, in the world. This is the interesting part. I don't know exactly what. But one thing I'm setting off is that I, Banky, I was prepared and I'm being prepared for the part I will play. Are you getting what I'm saying? In what he has planned to do, which I cannot force. Listen, it's not about forcing it to come. I don't even know what it is. Times and seasons are in his hand. Are you getting my point? He's preparing you also. He has been working on you so that you will be properly prepared to fulfill your own part for him in the things he planned beforehand. God planned. Please try and get what I'm saying. God is not wicked, amen? Yeah, so please don't misunderstand me. But see all the troubles of this earth, on this earth right now, they are part of a divine agenda to end troubles forever. I don't know whether I hear what I said. Yes, there. God says something clearly. He said, the man who makes the weapons of war, I made him. I don't know whether I get my point. Isaiah 54. Including the weapon he's making. So if I say no weapon fashioned against you shall prosper, that's what God was trying to explain. He said, I made him so I can tell you that whatever he makes against you will not prosper. What I'm saying, all the bombers, all the troublemakers that even came down to Niger State the other day, God knew, God made all of them, not knew them, he made them. And their bombing will prosper for a season. Until the season that God determined it should come to an end will come. And I'm bringing in a point out to you that season was determined long ago. Listen, you cannot raise up a prayer before God to execute that which he never planned to do. The burdens we have in our hearts, all right, for this nation is a reflection of what God plans to do. And having a burden and praying accordingly is part of our fulfilling our part in the fulfillment of God's agenda. Listen, when the Bible said, you will have mercy on Zion because the set time, the appointed time to favor her has come. That thing is, well, of course, it's scripture. I was going to say it's very scriptural, but it's scripture. Are you getting my point? But it's real. There is a time that God set to favor a country like this. So men who prayed 50 years ago could not even make it happen faster because God has an agenda. Oh my God. There are things he must eradicate from the surface of this earth. I don't want to mention names now. You know what I'm talking about. Those of you who have insight. And it is crucial that Nigeria goes through this path. This path that it has gone through. So that from here, God will raise a kind of vengeance up. I don't know what I am. I hope you are. Anyway, let me leave that one there. Next week, we'll start talking about it. God's appointed time. Listen. Africa is very backward, amen? Physically speaking. There are some people analyzing it. With all the population we have, we generate, I think, is about 5% of the SGDP. One stupid amount. We are the richest in natural resources. We are one of the most populous continents. But we generate, I think, like 5 or 7% of the GDP of the earth. It used to annoy me before. It doesn't annoy me anymore. It used to annoy me before. I want to write a small article, not Christian article, on 20 ways by which we waste resources in Nigeria. It's a black man's problem. When I finish writing it, you will laugh. One of them is impatience at junctions. Yeah. It cost us in Enugu a few millions of naira every day. If you check the amount of man hours wasted by just because there's nothing wrong, just the traffic warden went to take lunch. And nobody moves until he comes back. It's a black man's problem. It's a black man's problem. If Enugu was a white man's city, we don't have enough cars to cause traffic jam. We don't have. No, I'm serious about it. We don't. How many cars do we have? Just by observing stop sign, there will never be these traffic lights in Enugu are not necessary. We don't have enough cars for traffic lights. You've noticed yourself that when it says red, sometimes the whole road is empty. How many cars do we have? A black man has a way of just destroying everything. He has a Chinese man's mentality in spoiling things. You know, Chinese man has a way of making things bad, even if you show you how to do it well. So why should we put wire here? Put grass. See, we're born after 2 days. Now, what am I trying to say? See, all the problems of Africa, it doesn't worry me anymore. I realize that it's until an appointed time. And why do I believe that the appointed time to end it has come? It's simple. It's because of the depth of the gospel that we are producing from here and the anger that has been generated inside us with which we are praying against something. It is only because the set time has come. And when God's set time comes, the first thing he does is to produce people that he will use in his appointed season. Let me tell you the truth. If God produced you before your appointed season, he will send you to, that is, before Africa's appointed season, he will remove you and go and keep you somewhere. What am I saying? In God's appointed time, he locates his vessels and he puts them in right places. And I believe very strongly, all right? I just believe it. Let's talk about our country, Nigeria. The appointed time to favor her has come. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
So what God is waiting for now simply is for men who can receive the spirit of glory so he can put them in the proper places. Then you come back in a few years' time. You will look and say, is this Nigeria too? Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, God created this. Next week I'll begin to talk about it. He created this heaven and this earth to demonstrate something. Let me just give you one straight. He wants all creation to know that without the power of Christ, Africa will produce again and again and again and again and again. You understand? You see people would have natural resources, potential ability, but never go anywhere. You don't know how far behind we are as a continent. You don't. You think you do. No, you think you do. In fact, I believe that the average leaders we have, they don't have an idea. They don't. Let me not go into politics now. They don't have an idea. If they had an idea, they won't steal money again. They think because they have cars, we are close to the other people. If you know how far back we are, you'll start crying as you're going home. But that, you see, like I told you, I know they vex again. Amen? No, I know they vex again. For me now, what I have come to understand, you understand what I'm saying this in a moment, appointed time. Alright? In God's appointed season. Now, who's as low down, now please, listen to me. Who is as low down socially and economically speaking right now as Joseph was in jail? Anybody here? No, forget it. If you are here, you wouldn't have been here. You would have been in jail. Do you get my point? That you are here shows you are not that bad. Yet overnight he became prime minister. I don't know what I hear what I said. You can become local government chairman, senator any day. You didn't hear me. Hey, listen. What I'm saying is that there's a spirit of glory that can lift you from that place where you are right now. Not because, you know, we have already dispensed of vain glory. You understand? We are not going to office to go and make money. Are you? No, you decrease? No, you don't decrease. Amen. You are going to demonstrate God's favor in the appointed season. So this is what God is going to do. When the day comes, because the appointed time to favor her has come, then he looks for Joseph wherever he is. If Joseph is prepared to receive that spirit of glory, he puts him on any throne, any time. Because I wanted to read Psalm 75, but we don't have time there. God said in verse 2, when I select an appointed time, it is I who judge with equity. Now, just jump. He now said in verse 4, I said to the boastful, do not boast. I said to PDP, you don't have the power. Are you getting what I'm saying? I said to the wicked, all those who are plotting to rig elections, do not lift up the horn. Do not lift up your horn on high, and do not speak with insolent pride, just because you have been in power for a long time. He said, why? Verse 6, for not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south comes exaltation. But God is the judge. Listen, he started from verse 2. When I select an appointed time, at that time I will show people that promotion does not come from joining any political party. But God is judge. I don't know whether you heard me. Listen, what the word of God has been doing is to build you up to receive his spirit of glory so that in the appointed time to favor people, you will be useful for him. Those who want to lose out are the ones that get tired quickly of working with God. This thing is not producing. And that's because, you know, I told you before, that's why I don't want to preach the gospel of give and you shall get quickly. I'm not here to teach you how to be rich. Amen? I'm not here to teach you how to be happy, safe. I'm here to teach you how to do the will of God. If the will of God means locusts and wild honey with goat skin, may that be your portion. Amen? If it's an if, in case you're afraid to say amen. Yes. I mean, who does not want that kind of prophetic anointing that the whole nation will be shaking? What I've said is that God, by his word, is building you up as a tabernacle that God can dwell in on the earth. And once he has reached that critical point, he drops into you what I call the spirit of glory. So that, like Joseph, you can turn a whole nation around. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. Just one idea. And God, by that time, will put you in a position you did not know you could ever get to. And I said that is because the appointed time, the season that he set to do something crucial and critical on the earth, that's because that time has come. Are you getting my point? And our job, your job and mine, which we have all been cooperating to do all this while, is to just ensure that we, all right, are the dwelling places that God wants on the earth. David said that, I said, I will not give my eye rest until I have built a house, a dwelling place for my God on this earth. And you know that dwelling place is not bricks and mortar right now. You know that. You know that. If you know that, say amen.
Amen.
What is that dwelling place? It's the heart of man. So you are not allowed to give yourself rest until you have become God's dwelling place on the earth. And like I said, many things that are prayer points to you now, at that time you will forget that people can pray about them. Because the time that God wants to use you in his appointed time will have come.